To continue to talk about joy in certain ways, although today's sermon is much more about this kind of dichotomy that we see in these stories, this irony that attends the advent of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus into the midst of the world. And it's remarkable how humble this truly is in light of the scope and identity of the one who is given to us as this gift from God. You can only wonder at Mary's amazement and terror in her awakening today. Here is an angelic revelation, and she's got to just be wondering, what is this? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. What? I don't think she asked for this. A peasant girl, her only standing in her community is that she is engaged to be married to a man. She's been promised in marriage. She's in her betrothal year from the time that she is contracted to the time that her marriage celebration will take place. The Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. You will conceive and bear a son. This is good news. He will be the Son of God and will reign over the eternal kingdom. You will call him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. And she receives it all with such simple, humble acceptance, offering herself to the fulfillment of the new thing that God is doing. Here am I. And we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Who will go for us? Who will we send? Who will take this message forth to all the world? And one standing there, a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips, and he steps forward and says, here am I. Send me. And Mary, an amen. Let it be so with me, according to your will. She becomes the emblem, the symbol of a life opened and offered fully to this gift of love that God is giving. I wrote this in my journal as I was getting ready for today. The one God sends comes not to the halls of the highborn, but humbly, delivered in an animal pen, laid in a manger because there was no room for him in places of wealth and privilege and security. The Messiah, the anointed deliverer, is born not in royalty or to dynasties of power, but to a young, unwed, pregnant, Jewish peasant girl. Can you imagine a person with more strikes against them in the Roman world? Young, female, unwed, possibly have broken her marriage vows, a peasant in this world. She has no status. The only one lower than her in the social hierarchy of the Roman world in Palestine at this time is a child, especially one that's too young to work. And yet to this one, God comes and says, I want to love the whole world through you. And she says, do as you wish. Glory in humility. Humble humility. Lowly from below. It comes from our word humus, which literally means earth or soil. We talk about people who are simple and plain as being people of the soil, people of the sod. Humility comes from that. Humus, literally soil. We are made of this. The Lord God formed man from the soil of the earth and named him Adama, which means clay. The first man, Erstaman, is named after the clay from which he derives, from the humus, from the humble soil. Jesus prizes this humility. In all of his teachings, in all of his modeling of the goodness and the nature of God, learn from me, he says, for I am meek and tapeno, humble. lowly, humble of heart. He calls forth this humility in the lives of his followers. Whoever becomes humble like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hear that complete upside downing of the culture. Who is the lowest in the social hierarchy but a child? And just a step above the mother that will bear one into the world. And he turns that completely upside down and says, these are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, these humble ones. Whoever becomes one such as this, whoever welcomes one such as this in my name, he says, welcomes me. Paul understands this. He understands the calling of the people of faith as a calling to humility. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Here is Paul's encouragement to us to look to the one as the example of the godly life. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. He didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited in our reading from Philippians today, but emptied himself. And here is a powerful Greek word, one of the ones that I think everybody ought to know. It's called kenosis. The word is kenosis. And it is that very emptying. It's the letting go of the egoic self. It's the letting go of all of the external measures of value and importance and success and significance. It's letting all of that go. Humbling oneself through kenosis, the self-emptying. And as in the case of Jesus, being born into the world as one of us, the humus, the Adama, the humble clay. Peter teaches us, in the same way as Jesus, all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another, in your dealings with the world. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, the ones who are willing and open to receive. I find this less as a deterministic kind of idea of God, and more as one about the willingness and openness of people to simply receive the gifts as given. And the humble ones are ready. The humble ones are the ones that gather around Jesus first. Itinerant fishermen out of work, women who have been cast out of popular culture and society, the outcast, the other, the afflicted and the sinfulness that in the community's eyes that projects. These are the ones that gather to Jesus first. These are the humble ones that are open to anything that looks like up. And he looks like up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. Here's Peter talking about this upside downing of the world that is so characteristic of Jesus and the kingdom that he proclaims. Humble yourself and eliminate this pride, and God will elevate you. God will lift you up and show you where your true value, worth, and importance is, just as he has shown Oliver today, blessed and beloved, child of mine forever. There's a humble one. Although he was a little proud about telling everybody he was about to get baptized. We could understand that on a day like today. Love is waiting to be born again in us this Christmas. And it's our invitation to prepare, to open ourselves humbly, to simply receive the gift that God is holding out to the world, to understand and hear the angels who are saying to us, God wants to love the whole world through you. All we have to do for it all to begin is say yes. There's a quote from Mother Teresa that I really love, and we'll close with this. There's a light in this world, a healing spirit more powerful than any darkness can counter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when there is too much suffering, too much pain. And then suddenly the light will emerge through the lives of ordinary people who hear a call and answer in extraordinary ways. And that light is love. It is the love of Christ. Amen.